Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host my show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Now, today is Laura Mendelson. Are you there, Laura?
I am. Hello, everybody.
Okay, we had audio problems before the show, so I wanted to make sure that you can hear me okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound a lot clearer now.
Okay, because I'm trying to talk a little louder. Now, what I wanted to ask you is that you describe yourself as a medium. Is that right? Okay. You know, it's interesting. I have had a lot of dreams about, you know, like my grandfather and my grandmother, and I've had dreams where they're telling me things. Is it ever just a dream, or is it really them trying to communicate with you?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Jonathan. I believe the ones that can be trusted most as a true spirit communication are the dreams that feel larger than life, and you know it's more than a dream. It almost feels like it's reality or three-dimensional. May I tell you a story of my communication with my mother right after I was told she was going to pass a few days before she passed because I was channeling her guides. I didn't even know I was, by the way. I got confirmation afterwards that that was her master guide, Serapis Bey, who is an ascended master. And he said, "We mean this with the utmost love, but your mother will be transitioning in the next few days." And then 2 days later, she went into her final coma. She was sick, so we already knew she was sick. So it's not that fabulous, the whole thing. But she went into her final coma, and then 3 days after that, she deceased. She transitioned. And the day she went into her final coma, that night, as I was dreaming or sleeping, all of a sudden, I see my mother at the edge of my bed. She comes walking up to me in her human form and says, "I love you so much, Laura." And as soon as I come back to this reality, somewhere between this reality and the dream that she was, she disappeared. So the way she appeared is like a person in the room with me. It wasn't a dream. It felt very tangible, very, very real. And then on Friday, that was the day she deceased, the same thing, except she was next to me, flying, no longer had a body. This is the day she died. That night she came to me and was flying. And again, that same three-dimensionality, if there is such a word, the three-dimension sense of the experience, more than a dream. And then as time goes on, you find, and most people will find, that your very powerful or potent dreams start to transition to just about that person. I still believe, though, that every single time you're dreaming about your loved one, no matter how dreamlike it seems or three-dimensional it seems, could still indeed be a form of spirit communication with them. I have a reason for saying that. May I give you that reason?
Yes.
Okay. The reason is that as a psychic, we will have different ways to communicate with a soul as well. So our communication with spirit can happen in many forms, some of which are extremely tangible, as in a three-dimensional kind of dream, and others, as a psychic, might be just less intense, like I might hear a voice in my head or have a feeling. So I believe that spirit communications with your own loved ones can run the gamut from a dream that is three-dimensional and lifelike to one where they're just in the dream.
Now, I wanted to say something about a few, I think it must have been a year and a half ago. I had a dream where I was standing. It was an interesting dream because in the dream, most of those dreams that I have, like about grandpa, grandmother, I am not really aware that they're dead. I'm just sort of, you know, imagining them here. You know? In this particular dream, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, mostly I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. because I hear some said, I had acknowledged them that they were that they were dead, and that they had passed on. And what had happened was, one was my grandmother, and I won't say the person's name on the air because, you know, out of respect for her privacy, but in being, she came down and she said that the woman that I was my soulmate.
Oh.
And then my grandfather, he leaned down and he says, I'm going to tell you something, but you won't remember it when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have heard some people, what's your opinion of that dream?
So your grandmother showed you said that the person you're with is your soulmate. Did I hear you correctly? Okay. And your grandfather
I won't say
said,
the person's name on the air for the respect for her privacy. But
no, that's fine.
And then the other person said,
Your grandfather
and
said,
I'm going to show you something, but you won't remember it when you wake up.
And then
now,
you did not remember it? You didn't remember it, by the way. Is that correct?
I didn't remember it at all. I didn't remember it at all. Now, what's your opinion of that dream?
Interesting. Let me just think about it for a second. I think there was some meaning behind it. I think your grandfather was trying to show you something about yourself for your own growth. It seems to be something to do with acceptance of situations that you're in and recognition of what they are at a deeper level, one of which could have been the person you're with being your soulmate and understanding the life transitions, the growth, and everything that goes with that. I believe in the dream he probably gave you the awareness, but you didn't have to remember it upon awakening for it to take effect. So I think it was a dream of growth and activating something within yourself, and your grandparents were trying to guide you and help you. Now, if you want to look at it just from an intellectual perspective, less spiritual, it could be simply that you believe your grandparents are there to help and guide you, and you're looking to them for guidance as well. So you can take it both ways, but I believe it's the former meaning. Your grandmother's trying to awaken you to the fact the person you're with or were with at that time is a soulmate to you, and your grandfather was trying to show you in the dream that this was growth for you, and he actually did activate something within you that was awareness and consciousness, which did not require that you remember the dream. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense. Do you think that most people have more than one soulmate or just one?
Do I think what? Again, you were breaking up.
Well, I know this is about mediumship, but we are talking about a dream. I mean, you know, was she saying that, so you're saying my grandmother was saying that the woman that I'm with is the one?
No, I just think that they were both trying to tell you that this was a growth for you, an experience to go through for growth, and that from the spirit world perspective, there was a bond that goes beyond just what you would assume in reality, in our reality. In other words, a deeper meaning, has a deeper meaning and a deeper context, and it's all part of your evolution. So your grandparents were trying to help you have awareness about your earth experience from a spiritual or broader perspective. That's how it looks to me.
I understand. Well, you know, it's interesting about, like, my grandparents, you know, it's interesting, the differences. In the dream, my paternal grandfather and my maternal grandmother. And my maternal grandmother was this Southern Baptist.
Mm.
And my paternal grandfather was an atheist. And so it was interesting to see them together, you know, giving a message to me, because it was sort of like, it was like, you know, it was interesting. You could see them, you would imagine them as being, you know, the kind of people that would work side by side in their life. You know?
Yeah, you wouldn't from what you're telling me.
My mom
would.
What happens when, like, atheists die. I mean, and you know, they pass on.
What happens if you see a guide?
Now, what happens when atheists die?
Oh, when atheists die. Well, it's not always, everybody doesn't have similar, I mean, the same experience. Everybody's experience would be unique. But in general, I've heard, and I've even had mediumship sessions, but I've heard others where a person on earth is an atheist, and lo and behold, after they transition, they discover that life continues and there's a broader context than they thought on earth. Now, atheist does not necessarily mean, atheist simply means that you don't believe in a higher power or God. It doesn't necessarily mean anything more than that. Some people would believe there's no continuity. I wonder what the word is for that. In other words, when you die, that's it, it's over. I guess it's an atheist that doesn't believe in the continuity of energy and consciousness. But in any event, many atheists have been reported to transition and then discover when they're there, well, geez, there is a God. And I've had them come through in sessions that I've personally done, and it's always a shock to them quite often, but a good shock. I had one gentleman come in. It was a lady's father, and he was trying to tell her to be more spiritual on earth, because now he realizes that there is an afterlife and it's all connected. So he's giving her this awakening. Not that she wasn't spiritual, but just to let her know that he believes now. So and what happens to them is they discover that life continues. That's basically what happens.
I've also heard that, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but when the time is like 1:11 as it is now, that means that the spirits are looking on. Now, we have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Yeah, sure. Let's see who's there.
Okay. Caller, caller, you're on the air.
Hello? Hi. This is Spirit Medium Laura. Who am I talking with?
My name's Ash.
Hi, Ash. How are you today?
I'm pretty well. I'm a little. I've never done this before.
You never relax. Relax. Nobody's going to bite you. Go ahead.
We're not going to.
Well, over the past 4 years, we have lost my family, 6 members.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah. I mean, it's caused a lot. The family seems to be separating at this point. It's not looking good, and I've just been curious to know as to, you know, what some of the members that have gone, like, what's, I don't know, like.
Are you trying to ask me to make a connection? Is there a why to this, or you want me to see if I can make a connection?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I do feel a grandmother, first of all, stands there. Okay, grandmother who stands there. I believe she might have been one of the first ones to leave and began sort of a dropping out, if you will. I see her with an apron on, and she looks to be more of an average height than very petite or tall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I see somebody with an apron, it usually means they're homemaker type, lover of life. She's very pretty. She has a smile on her face. Her hair is more in a longish category. Now, longish meaning that it looks like it's pulled away from the face in a bun. I do see that it has a gray to it, and she also wears a flower in her hair. The flower is symbolic of just liking gardens and being, she's giving me words to go with the flowers. I'm going a little fast because she's giving me information that's fast, but I want to help you understand what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Body's a little overweight, full bust line. She's wearing sort of a house dress. It's got some floral thing to it, floral pattern to it, and an apron over that. She has a collar that goes up to the neck it's a collar that just kind of comes out. So it's a nice little dress. She's a homemaker type. She likes to bake, and she likes to cook. I get that from her. I feel male to her, under her, meaning that she at least had one son, it feels like, and or brother that's in spirit. Do you understand that she had a son, this grandmother you're thinking of, or do you need more information about her before you can determine who she is?
She does have a
she did have a son, first son, yeah.
Okay, good. So now I feel that there's also somebody with her, maybe it's the son to her, but I also feel a male, feels like a brother to you or somebody more close in age to you that's there. I felt that right away off the beginning. And I feel that there's a tragedy surrounding that death. It was unexpected. Do you understand, please?
It definitely was, yes. That's her, yeah. That's her son, my uncle.
Oh, okay. And that feels like the context was, it wasn't understood, it wasn't expected. It feels curious in various ways, as if there's a little bit of a mystery surrounding it. No one really expected your uncle to pass it so suddenly at that time in his life. And there's something to do with the head. Is a head injury, or has something to do with his head that goes with this? And I feel blood involved as well, and a bleeding. I don't know if it's an accident or if it's just a cardiovascular incident that happened at once, but I do feel suddenness surrounding it. Do you understand, please?
Yeah, I wasn't there, but what happened was the nurses said he fell. They found him. He fell, and he split his glaucoma.
He split his glaucoma, did you say?
No, the nurses found him fallen over.
Uh-huh.
And he slipped into a coma. No one knows how long he was there for. I mean, I wasn't there. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Well, I feel a headache, you know, like head injury. So it could have been a stroke, okay? It could have been a stroke. But it was very severe, whatever it was, and it was nothing that he could come back from. And by the way, as soon as it happened, he went out of his body and was greeted by his mother and some other family members. But all of these things have a meaning to them for you, I know there are other people. I think there's at least four that transitioned within the last few years for you. But all of this is supposed to mean something for you, and I'm trying to get what that meaning is. So just bear with me for a moment. And so just to show you that life continues, that loss can happen, but it's never really loss if you understand what's going on, why it's going on, and that life continues. And one of the things that's happened to you since then, they're telling me, your guides, is that you have had some experiences either with communicating with them or
just
with souls, you know, and you're starting to open up your own awareness to the other side, yeah, and your ability to communicate. Now, you know, a lot of people, and you probably wonder about this, Ash, so is it a gift to be a medium, or is it something everyone has? Am I unique? And is Ash unique? Do you think like that sometimes, sweetie?
Sometimes I do wonder, yes.
Like, is this happening? Does everybody talk to their loved ones? Do they all feel them in the room with them? Grandma in particular is very communicative. No, not everybody does. I think that you might be supposedly trying to open up your own gift. So if you're wondering about that, that's one of the things I'm getting for you. So if you feel like discovering that about yourself, you're not completely off point for yourself. That's something that you should be doing. Now, I see you work in the medical industry or in healing of some sort. What do you do, Ash?
I'm actually not. I'm a full-time mom right now, and I've actually been thinking about getting back into nursing. I was in school for it, and I wanted to finish my education on it.
Yeah, that's what I feel you should be doing, or that you are a nurse. So it pretty much is the heart and the soul of a nurse, the energy of a nurse. And this will carry you forward in life in many ways. So it is a good idea to go with that, because it's not become a medium or a nurse. You become a nurse, and then spirit communications or healing or energy work can follow through later on. But I've met a lot of nurses that are really into this stuff. You know, I don't have healing practices outside of nursing. So it's not unrelated. If you think it is, it's not. It's very related. You'll do well at that, and you chose wisely for yourself. Is there anything else I can do for you today, my dear?
I don't know if it works this way that you can, like, I know my mom has been really suffering
mm-hmm.
through all of these losses.
Mm-hmm.
She's taken it really, really hard. My older family members as well, but it's like I really see it's taking its toll on mom. Is there any? I don't know.
Yeah, why don't we just sit, look at her for a moment? She has a okay. Some of it has to do with her own attitude, and this she's attracted these things in. By the way, we all are living out a script that our soul is creating for us for our own evolution, each of us, all the time in the moment. And this particular drama, if you will, is because she has been very black or white or fatalistic in her approach to things. She's kind of a severe thinker, if you will. Right? And she smokes cigarettes?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
With her, it's either black or white. It's either good or bad. She's a very severe type of reasoning to her. Her soul has created this situation to encourage her to heal by virtue of becoming lighter in her attitude, more optimistic, and start to see gray shades versus everything good or bad. It would be helpful to her if she would take up a little bit more spiritual practice, more prayer, and or going to some kind of purposeful, meaningful worship for her, whatever that might be for her, because that's what she's being called to do by a higher voice, her higher voice, her higher self. Does that make sense to you, honey?
It does. And no, it really does. One more thing, I guess. My grandmother, before she passed, she made a video speaking to different members of the family. And for me, she wanted me to stay by my mom's side. And I've been doing that, but I feel it's been emotionally draining on me, and I feel for me and my daughter's sake, I need to just separate for just some short time. And it just makes me really nervous, the thought, because I know that's what my grandma wanted me to do, was stay, and I don't feel I can do that right now.
No,
I don't
agree
know if she would be disappointed.
Well, this is the way it goes. Let me just check with her, but I also have some other thing coming in. Let me just see with grandma. And she says it's all right to do what you need to do. She said she didn't mean that you need to literally be there physically, but she doesn't want you to abandon your mother in a spiritual sense. So that means to just pray, you know, pray. Sometimes helping somebody is letting go, letting God work for them, and handing it to a higher power for healing. So you could literally on a daily basis just call her, check in with her, but you do need to take care of yourself, you see. Now, quite often people who are attracted to the medical profession, particularly nurses, tend to want to caretake. So you've been, and again, this is another soul-inspired growth for you, is your opportunity here for growth is that you realize that sometimes letting go is the best way to help people. They have to find their own level, their own level. So you are being called to grow also in this situation, not just one person's growth, not just your mother's growth, but your own growth. To step away, you give her the things you can give her without hurting yourself, and then you know in your heart that she will grow, and you just ask God to help her with that. But it's definitely not your responsibility to physically be there. Your kid, you said you have children, you said, yes, you did several times, you said you have children. Your children need you, your husband needs you, or your wife needs you. I don't know if you're still married, you hadn't mentioned your husband, but
it's just me.
Yeah, it's just you, okay. But, you have a life, and you're supposed to be living it, and no one, including grandma, expects you to hurt yourself for that. What she means in a spiritual way, don't let go of mom. Don't let go of mom, you know. And your life raft for mom will be your spiritual support, not physically being there and draining yourself, but maybe every day do a prayer for her. And when you have conversations, and something comes in that you can suggest she do for herself, and suggest it, like, Mom, why don't you go to church? Or, Mom, why don't you, blah, blah, blah. But don't do it for her and set some healthy boundaries in place for yourself, because you're supposed to be growing also from this.
Okay.
Right. Sweetheart?
Did she answer your questions okay, Yoshiwana?
Yes, she did.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much. It was really nice speaking with you. I really feel a lot better.
Oh, okay, right. Honey. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thanks.
Right. You know, it's amazing. I you You were I think it's amazing. What's amazing is that nobody understands how the dead can sometimes, those who are passed on. I've heard somewhere, there's Alison DuBose, the website, and you can tell me if you agree with this or not, although I think you probably do, that the dead love to see you live. They don't love to see you sad.
Exactly. So true.
It's like they don't want to see you, they don't want to see you like remembering him by laying in bed and crying. They want to see you laying in bed by going out and living, because or going on roller coasters and amusement parks and things. And that's the way that they love to communicate. So
absolutely. And that kind of energy of grief and loss burdens them, not only us. Yes, we have to go through a grieving period, but we need to do that with a plan and constructively, not to stay in a holding pattern forever. So it is up to each of us to find a way to go through our grief. If we need to see a counselor, go to grief support, or have a period of time every day where we cry, and then the rest of the day we do things new for ourselves. Whatever your method is, but to decide you're going to stay in a grieving pattern or stay there is not constructive for anyone involved, and it's certainly not going to help those that have deceased.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's something that it tends to, I don't know how they view. Now, I have a question. What's your view on reincarnation?
Well, you know, everything that I say is, part of me says to myself, well, I don't really know, okay, because I only live in my body and I'm here in three-dimensional reality. But another part of me, a very mystical, spiritual part of me, literally remembers being in the spirit world before I came here. So I do believe, I lean in the direction of believing in reincarnation, although I don't fully understand the mechanism of it, nor do I fully understand the ultimate now of the spirit world. You know, I can't. I'm human. And that's what being human is all about. But, yeah, I think I believe in it.
Now, I wanted to give you a chance, because as I understand that, I saw that you have your own blog talk radio show. Is that true?
Yeah. What I wanted to do was offer your listeners some free resources and also a sale on readings. So the first thing you need to know is my website is spiritmediumlaura.com. And on there you can sign for my mailing list on the right side of the screen, and then you would get information on how to obtain free readings on my radio show, as well as free psychic webinars that I've created for you. So that's my mailing list. Join that on spiritmediumlaura.com. And also, if you'd like to take advantage of a third off, a 30-minute reading, which is a substantial savings, just email me at laura@spiritmediumlaura.com. Or you can phone me. Now, all that information is on my website, so I won't bother to give it all. Just remember, spiritmediumlaura.com. And on Blog Talk Radio tonight, I have a show at 8 o'clock. If you put in Spirit Medium Laura in the Blog Talk search box, you'll find me.
That would be good. I'm really glad I gave you the chance to do that plug. It's sort of funny because I noticed, do you always do the glasses and the hat on all your videos?
Yes, pretty much lately. You know, who knows what I'll do next week. I'm always doing something different.
Maybe you'll hide under the table or something, or just,
I'll bring my fat light cat into the picture. By the way, everybody listening, I also videotape it to YouTube when I do the radio show, and that's what he's referring to.
That's why
I
was teasing her today when I interviewed her. I said, did you bring your glasses and hat?
And I didn't get
anyway.
I didn't get the joke.
Oh, yeah, but now you understand it, yeah. Anyway, it was great to have you on. You were a wonderful guest. I hope I can have you on again soon. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to hang up now, and I want to thank everybody for listening to me. I appreciate it. Bye-bye, everybody.